My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Did he say Russia? Hi there. Mark Congleton here. Welcoming you into the Daily Perspective Podcast, this Wednesday edition, February 12th, 2020. I'm your humble host, sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. I'm hoping you're having a great middle-of-the-week day. Thank you so much for being there wherever or whenever that may be. If you're listening on Facebook Live, congratulations. Thanks for being there. If you're on the podcast, thank you. I appreciate your time shifting. I've asked you for your technology before. You're not giving it up. I want to know how you're time traveling, but hey, that's between you and whatever. Hopefully you're having a good day today. It is a, it is still a wet, damp day. Actually, when we were watching news early this morning around our house, I noticed even on the national news, they're talking about the severe weather that's coming to where I live today. It is going to be an extremely bumpy day today. And we already have flash flooding. There are roads that are washed out. There are cars in ditches. There's all manner of badness going on. And now we have the possibility of tornadoes. So let's throw sharks, crocodiles, water moccasins, and other things into the mix and just go ahead and make it the complete package, shall we? How about a nuclear reactor melting down? That would do. Let's sprinkle the coronavirus in the clouds. Why not? Let's just top it all off with that little dose of icing. Wouldn't that be great? It's just going to be nasty here today. Hope it's better where you are. That's all I can say about that. I hope it's better where you are. Oh, man. So much to talk about today. We have a what I think is probably the ultimate absurd item of the day that's coming up in just a couple. The candidates are dropping like flies. I want to, hopefully we'll get to it. It's down the list a little ways, and hopefully we'll get to taking a closer look at the platform of one of the Democrat candidates, the one who came in third in New Hampshire last night, Amy Klobuchar. She seems to be, on the surface, the rational, reasonable, moderate one. You've got Elizabeth Warren, who's washed out, basically. She's still got a lot of money to throw at her campaign, and she's got a lot of people she's got to make happy, so she's going to stay in it. But the only person I think that's ahead of her now is Joe Biden. Or is he? I'll have to look at it. Joe Biden won, and it wasn't even in New Hampshire last night. He spurted out like a squeezed watermelon seed and took off for South Carolina, so we'll see how that works out for him. There are those who, by the way, this is kind of as a side note, there are those who are saying that there is still a path for Joe Biden, because this is just the beginning. There's a long way to go. And I heard someone explain it this morning. I can't repeat it to you. I wish I could, but I sat there and listened to this guy talk, and I thought, wow, that's actually it was last night I heard it. I thought, that's actually very insightful. Dang, I wish I'd been recording this. I wish I'd written it down, but I didn't. So, but rest assured, there are those who are saying that Joe still has a path. There's still a way. He's not giving up yet. It's going to be very interesting. What else is there? We got Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders, two crazy left-wing Democrats, socialists slash communists, who are, even though Pete Buttigieg doesn't look like one on the surface, he's very measured, very steady. When you look at his background and you look at what he really believes, and you consider the fact that when he was in high school, he wrote a paper praising Bernie Sanders. Yeah, this guy's a socialist slash communist. So we'll take a look. We'll take a look at all of that. And we'll take a look at how that all works out. They're dropping like flies. We'll look at why Joe Biden went Splitsville on New Hampshire. And more. But first, I need to catch you up on what happened with our electricity problem. I know you're going to tell the story again. No, I'm not. I will just recap very briefly, and that is that I discovered in debugging a light that wouldn't work, I discovered a place where someone 43 years ago had driven a siding nail through a 2x4 and into a bundle of wiring in that was in a hole in a wall in our house. And it was all charred and black. And honestly, hands up, thanks to God, that for 43 years, it's just sat up there spitting and sputtering and didn't do enough to burn the house down. It very easily could have. Any number of things could have happened that would have made that catch on fire, and it didn't. And you're probably aware, if you were listening the other day to the Monday podcast, I was waiting for the electrician to come, and he actually called in the middle of the podcast and left me a voicemail. And so he didn't get here till, wow, when did he get here? I want to say it was between 11:30 and 12. So basically, it was like waiting for the cable guy. No offense, because I love our electrician. He's a great, and I call him our electrician because this is who I'm going to call from now on. Because he and his partner were just great. They were absolutely great. But so he shows up about 11:30. He putters around with stuff until 1-ish or so, 1:30-ish or so, and then discovers that he doesn't have his normal work truck, which is in the shop, and he's... This is the plight of the independent businessman. This man runs his own business. He is married. He has children. He was telling us the story about they planned, had them 8 years apart so he could put one through college and have a breather and be able to save up for the next one. And so he's got, I think he said he's got three kids, three daughters, and he's driving his wife's car because his truck is in the shop. It's her SUV. And he doesn't have room for all of his tools. And guess what? He needed something he didn't have. And so he came to me at one point and said, look, we're going to have to run. I've got to go and buy a really long drill bit to get through where we're drilling through. And I've got to go pick the girls up at school and take them home. And then I'll be back. And so he shows up again, 5 o'clock or so, 5-ish or so. And not too long after that, they were done. So it was, what was it, between 6 and 7, something like that, they were done. And we now have everything working. Everything is fine. We haven't tripped a breaker with the microwave once since they left. Everything is working. Even the overhead lamp over the sink. And that lamp is on a set of switches that is in an electrical outlet, a one-gang electrical outlet. Hey, you've seen this where it looks like, it's got the same wall plate as a regular electrical outlet, but there's a switch. There's two switches, one on top of the other. And for the whole time we've lived in this house, the light switch has been on the top and the garbage disposal switch has been on the bottom. Well, he wired them up backwards. That was Monday. Last night, actually this morning, I still heard where my wife is still turning on the garbage disposal, thinking she's turning on the light. And I actually said to the guy, I said to him, Steve, I wonder how many years it will be before we finally get used to that switch being in the wrong place. He said, oh, I could fix it for you. I said, oh, no, this is going to be entertaining because my sweet wife, bless her heart, she will from now on flip the garbage disposal first, probably until the day they put me in the ground. She'll still flip the garbage disposal first and go, ah. And turn around and flip the other one because that's just my sweetie. That's how she is. Because once she gets used to something being a certain way, if you change it, she has anxiety issues. And so now the garbage disposal switch is in the wrong place, but that's okay. I can actually fix that myself. It's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal. Anyway, everything is back to semi quasi normal. And we're all as happy as we can be about that because I'll be absolutely truthful with you. We're turning on lights and using lights we normally don't just because they work now. So I wonder how long that'll last. I mean, I walked in the kitchen last night and every light in the room was on and there was stuff happening all over the place. And I'm like, wow. We've never done all this at the same time before. That's great. Oh, man. Anyway, all is well again. It's all fixed up, and that's good. I'm happy about that. And we're both very happy about that, that that is now behind us. talking about my sweetheart. She's and the way she doesn't adjust to change. I bought her a new lamp to go by her chair in the living room because her old lamp, we've had it forever. We had it when we moved into this house. We bought it at the last place that we had, and that was a long time ago. Anyway, still, for some reason, I really don't understand why. It's got one of those little switches. It's got two lights. It's got one that faces the ceiling and one that's on a gooseneck, so you can actually point it towards whatever you're reading. And she loves to do these crossword puzzle books and word finders and things like that. She's keeping her brain percolating all the time. And she turns the light on. And with the old lamp, it was a lamp with a bulb and a shade. Didn't point at the ceiling. It was just a lamp on a tall stand. It was about 5 feet tall. She would reach up and click and rotate that little, you know, that little switch that's on a light, that's on a lamp. You turn the little handle and it goes click. And sometimes if it's a multi, like it's set up to have a three-way bulb, you might be going click, 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 you know, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Well, for some reason on this particular lamp, those little switches don't have the little plastic knobs on the end of them. They just have a little knurled section on the end of the shaft that comes out. And she reaches up and spins that baby. And the light goes off and on and off and on. And she's been doing it. How long have we had that lamp? We've had that lamp since before Christmas. And every time she turns it on, nuts. She has to turn it again to turn it on. And it's like, it just doesn't register. And I just sit there and shake my head. Every single time. Okay, that's enough. Let's get to the absurd item of the day, shall we? Besides my life. The BBC, the British Broadcasting Company. Those people in over the pond. They are actually producing a show. Believe it or not, they're producing a show about...
How dare you?
Greta Thunberg. Yes. During the BBC showcase on February 10th, just a couple of days ago, the network announced production of a docuseries on the life and propaganda of the Swedish Skald. Yes, Greta Thunberg. In a statement from the BBC, they say, the series will follow Greta's international crusade, which takes her to the front line of climate change in some of the most extraordinary places on Earth as she explores what actions could be taken to limit climate change and the damage it causes. So we'll see Greta Thunberg, which definitely doesn't rhyme with Funberg, yelling at hapless politicians and hobnobbing with concerned celebrities, interspersed with classic tearjerker shots of supposedly starving polar bears and footage of the burning Amazon rainforest. Context-free footage, that is, since many of the fires are necessary for the environment and global incidence of fires has actually been on the decline in general since 2003, but we digress. The statement continues. As she travels, Greta meets not only leading scientists, but political leaders and business heavyweights, exploring the scientific evidence with them and challenging them on change. Oh, gee. Are we going to have more viral...
How dare you?
...moments? Is that what we're going to have? That's just priceless. Absolutely priceless. That should be a ratings bonanza. You think her parents or her handlers will point her sailboat to China so she can bug them, those communists in the government, about the country's massive carbon emissions, which are double that of America? Or the pollution they dump in the ocean? Did you know most of those plastic straws everybody's freaking out about coming from China? The absolute vast, actually lion's share, ginormous majority of them. You know, she's only interested in lecturing nations rooted in colonial racist systems of oppression. Because this is political more than it is ecological. And how's this for a hook? In addition to witnessing the day-to-day behind the scenes of Greta's activism, the BBC advertised the upcoming series as providing an in-depth look at the little girl's journey from angry child
How dare you?
To disillusioned young adult. The films will also chart her journey into adulthood as she continues to be confronted by the real-world consequences of inaction. Oh, Lord. This is going to be precious. I hope it makes it to BBC America. It's on your cable package. Go look for it. I hope it makes it to the BBC America, which is an American company that has that contracts with the BBC to broadcast their programming. I hope it makes it to BBC America. I just want the sound bites. I really do. I want to keep a track, a running number of how many
How dare you?
We get. I just want to know. Come on. We can make it happen. Let's call them up and request it. Let's get that started today. Hey, wait a minute. What's going on?
Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
That is the quote I've been referring to off and on for a long time. And I finally just decided, doggone it, I gotta find it. And I found it on YouTube. It was posted by someone who thought, oh, this is awesome. This is another fantastic quote. But Obama, being the socialist that he was, the Marxist, well, that he is, meant that in such a way that it was really not all that clear to people who didn't understand his ideology. You see, in progressivism, you appeal to the younger people who don't have the benefit of wisdom gained by age and experience, and who have been educated by a system which you have poisoned so that they don't understand the true history of the nation, and you tell them the old people don't understand what's really going on and what life is really like now, and it is our turn. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Listen to it again.
Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
That was February 19th of 2008. That was in the run-up to the election when he was ginning up his support and indoctrinating people. The community organizer, which is basically a Marxist campaign organizer, who became president. And we're watching more of that happen today because last night, Bernie Sanders came out on top. He won the Democratic primary in New Hampshire. Let's see. He had 25.8%. Buttigieg had 24.4%. Amy Klobuchar had 19.7%. Elizabeth Warren was at 9.4%. Biden at 8.4%. Steyer at 3.6%. Gabbard at 3.3%. And Yang at 2.9%. Yang actually dropped out of the race last night. We'll look at that in a little bit. But that was, let's see, at that point, that was with 83% reporting. We probably have better totals now. But the bottom line is that Bernie squeaked by. He squeaked by with less than 2% of the vote. Less than he expected. A significantly smaller margin than in 2016. In 2016, Sanders destroyed the eventual nominee, Hillary Clinton, by nearly 23 points, 60.14 to 37.68%. And last night, he led Pete Buttigieg by less than 2%. He actually had less than half of the votes he had last time. So, it's going to be an interesting race. A very interesting race. Is America actually leaning toward a socialist? I don't see it. But you never know. Could be an interesting campaign period. This season is going to be... It makes me wonder what the news media is going to cover up this time. When we finally get to the point where the choice is made and the Democrat candidate is picked, will it be Joe Biden or will it be Bernie Sanders? I've said before, I don't think the Democrat Party, the DNC, I should say, I don't think the DNC will let it happen. They don't want to, that's for sure. They sure don't want Pete Buttigieg. And as I told you yesterday, Pete comes from a long line of Marxists. He's hiding it very well. He's very rehearsed. His answers are meaningless and say nothing. He is the Barack Obama of the 2020 election period. How can I say that? Well, he's young. He's relatively sharp. He's almost unknown. And he's a member of a minority slash victim class. He's gay. And as I've told you before, the progressives love a victim. They love a good oppressed class. And they will champion those people just for the optics, just to say, see, we succeeded in pushing this person forward in spite of all of the bias in America. When there really isn't bias about what they're saying it's about, it's opinion based on positions. And one guy who decided just to tuck tail and head out rather than stick around and make speeches last night was Democratic presidential primary contender, former VP, creepy Uncle Joe, Joe Biden. He got on the No Malarkey bus, maybe it was a private jet, abruptly left New Hampshire for South Carolina before the primary results were revealed. Biden finished in fifth place in the primary, within 6 points of Tom Steyer, who was rumored to be leaving the race. Andrew Yang, who left the race, and Tulsi Gabbard, who vows not to get out of the race. As Fox News analyst and former George W. Bush administration spokeswoman Dana Perino said, Biden was smart to exit because if he had stayed, every question from reporters would have been, are you going to quit? She said that from a communications perspective, and she was the chief communicator for the George W. Bush White House, remember, for a while. From a communications perspective, getting the heck out of Dodge was smart. Biden wasn't going to finish in the money. He knew it. National Review says Biden, who was leading in national polls until recently, showed anemic numbers in early results of the primary, with Warren, who represents neighboring Massachusetts, slightly ahead of him. Both candidates are projected to finish below the 15% threshold required to secure delegates. That's according to CNN and MSNBC projections. New Hampshire's 24 delegates will be awarded proportionally to candidates who make the 15% threshold. A candidate must have 1,991 delegates to win the Democratic nomination on the first ballot at the party's July convention in Milwaukee. By the way, just as a side note, you should really look up how the Democratic Party's process works. It's twisted and weird. It's convoluted. It's strange. It's not straightforward. There are no clear winners or losers. It actually sets things up so that some body of officials can come in and make a determining decision about things. One of those things that makes you go, yep. Well, before Uncle Joe abandoned New Hampshire to go man his firewall in South Carolina, he put on a brave face. He tweeted, today's the day, New Hampshire. Confirm your polling location and make sure to get out and vote. Well, he vowed to head to South Carolina. He said, I'm going to Nevada. And we got to look at them all. And he finished well behind the front runners in the Iowa caucuses, if you'll remember. President Trump's campaign manager, Brad Parscale, had fun at Biden's expense. he posted a video of Biden accepting this. I think it's the same medal that Rush Limbaugh got. It says, is there a fifth place medal? Nope. However, here's your participation medal. Besides trolling Biden, Parscale, Trump's 2016 data whiz, had some eyebrow-raising intel about the Trump win in New Hampshire. He said, with approximately 54% of precincts reporting, President Trump has already received more votes than Presidents Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and Ronald Reagan in their respective re-election New Hampshire primaries. So, President Trump is already stronger with Republicans than Obama was, than W. and Ronald Reagan. That's a strong indication of where things are going. Now, lest we become cocky, lest we become overconfident, let's remember something. This is politics. And in the field of politics, you can never trust what you're being told this early. You just can't. For a handful of reasons. One of those reasons being that the polling numbers are tightly controlled. The voting results are tightly controlled by political parties, specifically on the Democrat side. It's not clear cut. It's not easy. It's not simple. It's complex. And Democrats already in power are working hard to make things fuzzy when it comes down to the final vote. Like I said before Trump ran, he would have to win decisively with an overwhelming majority just to overcome the Democrat shenanigans.
Great googly moogly.
I agree 110%. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. It's the Wednesday midweek edition of the podcast. Wednesday, February 12th, 2020. As we look at all things about the life, the universe, and everything. No, the answer to that question is not 42. It is. We're about halfway through it. Driving towards the end of this brief hour of daily insight, observation, absurdity. Hope you're enjoying the ride. I'm trying to pick the smoothest streets possible, but it does get bumpy sometimes. Well, the candidates are dropping like flies. I mean, it's like they've been spraying for the SARS virus or the coronavirus, and things are dropping out of the sky. Oh, man. Democrat Andrew Yang dropped out of the presidential race last night. He told reporters that he planned on dropping out ahead of the polls closing in New Hampshire. He said, I'm not someone who wants to take people's donations, support, time, and dedication if I don't think we have a chance to win or advance our goals in the right direction. Yang was best known for his promise to pay a universal income of $1,000 a month to every American over the age of 18. Bernie Sanders is in the lead. He actually took the New Hampshire primary with a squeaking by Pete Buttigieg, as we talked about in the last segment. Joe Biden took off to South Carolina ahead of the New Hampshire primaries. I joked about watching Elizabeth Warren's campaign spiral into the side of the mountain not too long ago. You could follow the smoke trail to the ground. Well, the same is applying in some ways to Joe Biden's chances, but it's still a long road ahead. There are things that could happen. Interesting, bizarre, twisted, weird things. Colorado Senator Michael Bennett ended his 2020 Democratic presidential bid after pinning campaign hopes on New Hampshire. He took a middle path in the race but failed to make gains in the polls. And Tom Steyer has not dropped out of the race, despite a report earlier yesterday to the contrary. There was that buzz going around that another one had bit the dust, but it wasn't Tom Steyer. He is still in the race. I've asked this question before. It makes me wonder, why do people keep campaigning? Why do they stay in the political thing for so long when their chances of winning are practically non-existent? When some people that drop out and you go, wait, that guy was running? Like Bennett. When I mentioned his name, you probably said, Bennett, oh yeah, I forgot he was running. Yeah, like most people, which is why he dropped out. But then there are other people, like Tom Steyer. Does he actually have a snowball's chance? No. But he's going to keep throwing money at it. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? It's kind of like Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg is doing everything he can for the express purpose of unseating Trump. It's not to win the presidency. He's actually said so. He has said so himself. He's not running to be elected president. He's running so that Trump can get defeated. He's trying to upset the apple cart. He is a deep anti-never Trumper. He's so psychologically focused on getting rid of Trump that he's pouring unimaginable piles of cash into a campaign. He's not taking contributions. He's burning his own wealth to do this. In fact, you can't escape his commercials anywhere. They're all over television. It doesn't matter what channel you're on. He's bought cable TV ads, and the cable companies just drop them into every single channel, so you can't escape him. And if you think you can escape him by going to streaming media, if your streaming media package is one that is supported in part by commercials, guess what? You're getting Michael Bloomberg ads. Okay, well then, let's go to YouTube. That'll be great. Let's go to YouTube and just watch people, you know, walk around places or take train trips across the country or things like that. We can escape all of the crap on television and just go to YouTube. Uh-oh. There's Michael Bloomberg again. How do I know this? Because that's been my preferred method of escaping the garbage that's on television. I've been in the last year or so, I've been watching a lot more YouTube because honestly, some of the stuff on YouTube is a lot more interesting. Small producers making interesting product, going places, visiting roadside America, visiting places that used to be hot spots for families who traveled by car around the country that are now falling apart, decaying and rusting away into nothing. People who go to a theme parks and enjoy themselves and give you all the tips and tricks about how to save money and things like that. Just stuff. People who tinker and make things. Wow, there's a wealth of video like that. And if you're a tech head like I am, wow, there's a lot of tech review stuff out there and tips and tricks on how to better operate your computer and all kinds of things. There's a wealth of information on YouTube. But can you escape Michael Bloomberg's ads? Heck no. They're everywhere. You can't get away from the man. He's burning billions of dollars on advertising. And I dare say that if you stacked every one of his commercials up and investigated every claim he says, Mike's going to do it. Mike can do it. Mike can make it happen. All of the things that he promises he can do, I think you would probably find out that in order to fulfill his campaign promises, the ideals of most of America would have to change. And the laws governing America would have to change. And Congress would have to go along with him, which is not going to happen. And the Supreme Court would have to take a permanent vacation. He's making promises he can't keep. But then again, all of the candidates do that. All of them. Speaking of the other candidates, I mentioned Amy Klobuchar a while ago. Let's take a look at her platform, her positions. Because I keep seeing when news reporters stick microphones in the faces of people in diners and the like after campaign events like Iowa and New Hampshire, they ask them who they're voting for. If they're voting for Amy Klobuchar, the reason they say they are is because she seems to be the most moderate, the most controlled, the most disciplined. Well, let's look at her positions. Thanks to a guy on Twitter who has this, he has this mental focus on things that's just amazing. And honestly, he was, he used to be, where is he? Ah, there's his book. I believe this guy used to go, I mean, his name is Thomas Wichter, and he had an account on Facebook. He had an account on Twitter, and it was always full of incredible insight, and almost all the time he was right. And his focus on minutia was amazing. It was just amazing. He would look at the Middle Eastern situation and open it up in his tweets, and it would be crazy. Crazy how accurate he was. Just amazing how accurate he really was. And people would say, oh, he's nuts. And finally, because he really didn't give a rip about Twitter's rules, they basically banned him. And I think he's back. And he's going by the name Carlos Osueda, Osweda. And he, thank goodness, broke down Amy Klobuchar's positions. Number one, abolish capital punishment, reform or reduce cash bail. Translation, abolish cash bail. Eliminate mandatory sentencing. Yeah, we'll flood the streets with violent criminals. Make the rest of us pay for affordable housing and offer rent subsidies. Raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour, which means you'll say goodbye to all federal minimum wage jobs. Study reparations. That means approve reparations. Offer 2 years of free college. What that means is she would make the rest of us pay for 2 years of college for other people's kids. Boost teacher pay, which means give them more money to make our students even dumber. Please don't get me wrong. I know teachers, have teachers in the family, love teachers, but their hands are tied. They should have more money. They should have better funding. But when it comes to what they teach our children, their hands are tied, and they are making our children even less informed. Next, unlimited spending should not be allowed in politics. Now, that on the surface sounds really, really good. There should be spending caps on what you can spend. Like, you know who that's pointed at? It's pointed at Michael Bloomberg. What it also means is that the government will get to determine who wins elections. The Electoral College should be eliminated. These are her positions, her campaign positions, the positions of Amy Klobuchar. The Electoral College should be eliminated. That means that people in heavily liberal / progressive / leftist areas, those people will determine who will be our presidents from now on. Los Angeles County, Orange County, California, used to be extremely conservative. San Francisco, that area. Down around Miami, Dallas, Texas. Austin, Texas. That concentration of areas up on the northeastern coasts of the United States of America, and a smattering of some places across the country, which are just tiny, tiny, tiny areas of America. There's actually a map in this lineup, and I've got it in the show notes today, and you need to get today's show notes. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and get today's show notes and look at this map. You'll see exactly which parts of the country would control who becomes presidents from now on. And it's not many. Moving forward, end new oil and gas leases on federal land and end offshore drilling. What that means is everybody gets to buy a donkey cart. We would become dependent upon the Middle East again for oil. We would not be able to drive. The price of gasoline and oil would skyrocket. And a huge chunk of our economy would go to the bottom of the ocean, never to be seen again. There's more to this, and actually, we'll just pick up where I left off. When we come back from the break, as the Daily Perspective continues on this Wednesday edition of the podcast.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Would you like to buy a vowel?
Yeah, some days I would, honestly. I'd like to buy a vowel. Hi there. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. We were kind of in the middle of having a look at Amy Klobuchar's positions so that you could understand she's really not a moderate. She is not the moderate candidate. She actually believes exactly what the other people do. She just presents herself differently. All three of the top guys and gals, I should say, Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, and Amy Klobuchar, not in any particular order, they all have the same views about things. They're all very leftist. They just present themselves differently. Bernie Sanders is angry. He's shouting about everything. Pete Buttigieg is a robot. There's no other way to put it. He's just robotic. Amy Klobuchar has got that little nervous chihuahua thing going on, but she's very reserved about the way she says things. She's not as absurd as Bernie Sanders, and she's a little more lifelike than Pete Buttigieg. But she's still got the same views. We ended up with ending new oil and gas leases on federal land and ending offshore drilling. You don't have to be a genius to understand what that will do to our economy. If we stop producing oil on those lands and offshore, then we are no longer energy independent. Which is really interesting because all of these candidates, all of them will say we need to be energy independent and we need to look at the future of energy. And in order to look at the future of energy, we have to turn our back on carbon producing things like oil and gas. The problem is that we're nowhere near making that happen. Wind only works in certain places. Solar is not nearly as efficient or productive as they want you to believe it is. We're a long way. We're just in the infancy of those alternative energy options. We're just at the beginning. We need to explore those things. Yes, we really do. We need to find better ways to produce energy. We certainly do. It's not because we're going to run out, and it's not because of the pollution, because honestly, the science, the real science on all of that stuff, doesn't indicate all of the fearful things they'd like you to think it does. But we should be pressing forward, because as human beings, that's who we are and what we are. That's why we went to space. That's why we went to the moon. That's why we have to see what's over in that next mountain ridge. What's in that next valley? It's who we are. So we need to explore other means of producing energy and more efficient ways of powering what we use in our lives. We're doing it now with battery technology. It's happening a lot. I don't know if you've noticed, but batteries in mobile devices are getting more powerful, lasting longer, and they're getting smaller. It's because that's something we use every day, and people will spend money on it. There's a profit motive. But ending offshore drilling and gas leases on federal land? Not until we have better options, which we don't have. Next, pay farmers to adopt climate-friendly practices. What that means is we all get to pay farmers to make our food prices higher. Because climate-friendly practices, well, that's really based on the interpretation you choose to accept. Support a ban on assault weapons. Do we really have to go there? Look at Virginia. Look at what's happening. They've just voted to do that by a very narrow margin. It's a microcosm of the progressive ideal thing. And that is also turning a blind eye to reality. It's just The assault weapons aren't what's doing the committing the crimes. It's the people. It's a behavior issue. And if you take them away, they'll just find something else to use, which is what's happened in every society where they've banned guns. If they get to ban guns completely. Because what happens is it's lawful people, law-abiding people, who obey the new laws, and the criminals causing all the problems still disobey the law. It doesn't change anything. Up next, citizenship for dreamers. Well, forget the legal immigrants. Let's gift citizenship to people who broke the law to get here. Back additional wall funding in broader immigration legislation, which means eliminate all the immigration laws. That's what it means. Pay for infrastructure through changing taxes on corporations and the wealthy. Well, that'll just drive corporations back overseas. They'll tax everybody, not just the wealthy. And the infrastructure will continue to decay. Slash the defense budget and keep the troops deployed. Wow. I think Klobuchar just proved that she is the first mentally handicapped presidential candidate. Because that's insane. Increase the capital gains tax rate. Well, that's going to tank the economy. Raise corporate taxes, but keep rates lower than before 2017. I refer you back to tanking the economy, but even more. Increase existing taxes on upper-income Americans. Well, that's going to... that will succeed, actually, but not the way she wants it to, because what it'll succeed in doing is discouraging the wealthy from investing and starting new companies, which means fewer jobs, which means less opportunity, which means tanking the economy, Chapter 3. We should consider holding companies legally liable for user posts. She's referring to social media companies. What that actually means is let's ban conservatives from social media, because that's what will end up happening. Social media, Twitter, which is already the third circle of hell, Twitter will just become hell, period. All of it. And Facebook will be impossible to deal with, because you'll express an opinion and get locked down. And when you get back out of Facebook jail, you'll express a more innocuous opinion, and the people who fussed about your other opinion will fuss about the innocuous opinion, and you'll get shut down, which means more and more and more trolls, which means fewer and fewer people with right-thinking, correct, honest, hard-working values will be on social media, because social media will be even a larger cesspool than it is right now. Well, she's got at least, Amy Klobuchar, that's what we've been looking at, her positions on everything. She's got at least 10 deal breakers for every single voter, regardless of your affiliation. She's just a loser. Just a loser. Another loser, I should say. Because quite frankly, like I said, she's just another leftist. She believes in the same kind of things the others do, the ones who are more pronounced. She wears a different face, is what it amounts to. Bless her heart. And it's not going to help America the way she sees things. Nothing that she is proposing is going to work. I go back to the Michael Bloomberg ads. She's a politician just like Michael Bloomberg. She just doesn't have the money, and she's begging for money to keep running. She makes propositions. She takes positions on things which, in the real world, she can never get accomplished. But she's a politician, so she's got to make those promises. She assures those who support her that we can get it done, when, in order to get it done, the Constitution would have to change, the Supreme Court would have to give it the official okie-dokie, which they won't, and Congress would have to agree, which, unless Well, unless the Congress, unless the House, the Senate, and the presidency were all Democrat, that wouldn't happen. We have a system of checks and balances in this country that prevents lunacy from taking hold. And sadly, from time to time in the history of our nation, one party has controlled everything. And they have managed to stack the Supreme Court so it agrees with them. And things have happened to the laws of our nation and our Constitution, which have allowed them to move forward with their progressive plans. And they've changed America in very negative ways. And most recently, under 8 years of Obama, we watched a lawless presidency ignore the Constitution and just do things by fiat and govern by executive order and executive action. And for his entire first term so far, that's what Donald Trump has been working to correct. He's been undoing the damage that Barack Obama started. And the result has been employment is up. Confidence is up. Business is up. More people are working. Fewer people are unemployed. People are happier with the way things are. And the Democrats have nothing to run against that. The only hope they have is in some kind of shenanigans, which is why we all have to pay close attention. And I have to get out of the way. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.